Join us for fun. Pull up a kitchen chair. There's music in the making, and we hope to see you there. Gather round your radio. We can chat about our tunes as friends and neighbors get together to play a few old tunes. Local folk on the radio, it's time to listen in. Local folk on the radio, let the music news begin.
Welcome to Local Folk, a presentation of the Central Indiana Folk Music and Mountain Dulcimer Society. Today, Society member Susie Krasick shares an interview she did with dulcimer player extraordinaire Butch Ross at a recent Indianapolis appearance. Plus, we're going to play some of Butch's music. Professor Tim Hoke tells us a little bit about the banjo in Musicology Moment. Then, as a Father's Day treat, we'll talk with a father and son, Mike and Nathaniel Rabb. Mike is the Society Music Director, and Nathaniel is an impressive youngster who is carrying on the interest in folk music. They stop by to share some music as well. We'll tell you what's going on in next month's show and let you in on the folk music scene. So let's settle back and listen to Local Folk. Susie Krasick, a Society member and dulcimer player in her own right, caught up with Butch Ross at a recent Indianapolis appearance. Butch is known for playing the lap dulcimer strapped on like a guitar, as well as his humorous tune selection. Let's check out that interview.
Hello, this is Susie Krasick, and I'm here at the Ohio Valley Gathering in Indianapolis, Indiana, and I'm interviewing Butch Ross, who is here volunteering and giving workshops, as everyone is. So, Butch, you've been a dulcimer player for quite a while, right?
About 8 years now.
8 years. Did you play any other instruments before that?
Yeah, I was a guitar player, and I'd been in a bunch of bands and some other stuff like that. So.
Now, I know you live in Chattanooga right now. Where did you live before that?
I was in grad school for a while, but before that, I spent a lot of time in Philadelphia. And I lived right in the center of town. So.
And did you play music in Philadelphia?
Yeah, I played in rock bands, and I played, by the time I moved to Philadelphia, I was a solo artist, so I did a lot of touring, playing around with an acoustic guitar and writing songs and stuff. But I was also living in Philly when I first got the dulcimer. So.
Is there a big folk scene in Philadelphia?
Yes and no, not what I've come to know as folk music, especially like in the dulcimer community. There is, of course, the Philadelphia Folk Festival, which is one of the largest and oldest folk festivals in the country. And everybody who in the 50 years has been in existence, everyone has played there. But it's a huge festival, but I don't know that necessarily translates back to the city itself and the scene itself. So, but also since I've moved, a lot of interesting things have happened there as well. So,
in Philadelphia.
In Philadelphia.
Yeah. So now you live in Chattanooga, and tell me what you do there.
Well, this.
You're a musician. Yes. You're a full-time musician.
Yeah, which means that I live in Chattanooga, but I don't spend a lot of time in Chattanooga.
You're on the road a lot.
Quite a bit, actually, yes. Yeah.
So tell me some of the places you've been this year, though, say from January.
Well, in January we started out in Key West, and then cool. I did a swing up through the Midwest. January to March is the slow season, so theoretically I've been working on new material and trying to put out a new record this year. But generally, from Florida up through the Northeast, Pennsylvania, New York, New Jersey, that's kind of the circuit. And then,
circuit then.
Something like that, yeah. Yeah. But what I do is a little different. So, I can play dulcimer festivals, I can play more listening rooms or folk clubs, but I can also go into like rock and roll clubs and play like, smoky bars and things like that. So I end up doing a lot of different things on any given night.
What do you have planned for the rest of this year?
Well, I hope to get a new, theoretically, I hope to have a new record out by the summer. I just haven't, you know, I have some new books and some things that I've been working on. And I'm going to go back to England. This will be my fourth year in a row that I've toured England.
Nice.
And so, yeah, and that'll be it. That's enough, I think.
Yeah.
That'll keep, to keep me busy.
So if people wanted to get in touch with you or buy one of your CDs, how would they do that?
Well, like everybody these days, I have a website. So you can go to butchross.com. That's all one word. And you can listen to actually you can listen to most of the stuff that I've recorded at the website, and of course you can buy it all there and find out where I'm going to be and video and all of that stuff. So.
Well, you know my favorite song that you do is "Fly Around My Pretty Little Miss" in your own arrangement. So I'm hoping that we're going to be able to play that right now.
That'd be great.
Okay.
I like it too.
Good. Okay. Thanks, Butch.
Thank you.
We've come to that portion of our show we call Musicology Moment. Professor Tim Hoke's going to let us know a little bit about the banjo.
Welcome to Musicology Moment. An edict from French colonial officials in Martinique issued in 1678 prohibited slaves from gathering to dance to the accompaniment of drums and something called the banza. This is the first written record of the banjo. Later accounts mention similar instruments throughout the Caribbean, Suriname, and eventually into North America. These earliest banjos were made from gourds and goat skin. They're believed to have been derived from a West African stringed instrument, but while a banjo-like instrument exists in Africa and playing techniques are similar, the definitive connection has yet to be made. The gourd was eventually replaced by wooden or metal hoops. The horsehair strings gave way to gut and then to steel. Frets were added. The goat skin was replaced by a plastic head. Tone rings and resonators were added and eventually gave us the instrument that we now know today as the banjo. I'm Tim Hoke, and I'll talk with you next time.
As I jogged along, my mind turned back to the girl I left behind me. Sweet little girl, the pretty little girl, the girl I left behind me. As I jogged along, my mind turned back to the girl I left behind me. The wind did blow, the rain did flow, the hail did fall and blind me. I thought of the girl, the sweet little girl, the girl I left behind me. Sweet little girl, the pretty little girl, the girl I left behind me. I thought of the girl, the sweet little girl, the girl I left behind me. To the place I said, let her to remind me. She says I'm true when you get through, right back and you will find me. Sweet little girl, the pretty little girl, the girl I left behind me. She says I'm true when you get through, right back and you will find me. If ever I get off the trail of Indians who don't find me, I'll make my way straight back again to the girl I left behind me. Sweet little girl, the pretty little girl, the girl I left behind me. I'll make my way straight back again to the girl I left behind me.
Phil Slates, and I'm with Mike and Nathaniel Rabb today, musical family members. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thank you.
All right, glad you could make it. Mike, could you maybe tell us a little bit about your initial involvement in the folk community?
My involvement in the folk community came from Nathaniel's involvement in the folk community.
All right.
Well, you've been playing guitar for about 30 years, haven't you?
Although I was more interested in popular music and on the side when folk music met popular music, that's when I got involved in folk music. But the folk music genre, I think my knowledge of it was mostly of the 60s, a decade of folk music
The great folks here.
Yeah.
Well, when we joined the society, we came for about a year, and then he got dragged into the position of music director. So that's when he started learning about it.
And you were mentioning where folk meets pop. What kind of styles of folk are you playing?
Anything we can get our hands on.
Well, just recently we were talking about John Hartford. We came into knowledge of him through Down from the Mountain production based on O Brother, Where Art Thou. So that movie, I think, had a little of a door-opening effect on our knowledge of other folk music.
We try to play styles ranging from kind of blues to for just bouncy songs, fun songs, a little bluegrass or really old time, just about anything we can approximate the sound of.
Mm-hmm. I think I've heard you guys do some gospel as well.
I think so.
Mm-hmm. Well, you would know, you know.
Well, we've done some gospel, more along the four-part harmony of hymn tunes, yeah. Mm-hmm. Not so much the blues gospel.
Well, we haven't performed it though. I kind of like to mess around with that at home, but. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Well, and besides the two of you, actually, at some point, there's more members of your family that are involved.
Yeah. Well, my brother Jonas plays guitar, and Henry plays mandolin, and Toby likes to sing. So.
My wife, Amy, felt it very important to teach the boys some level of music. Both of our families have a lot of musical background. And so we thought it would be a shame if they grew up not knowing any music, how to sing in a harmony or something. So we tried to start them on shape note singing and playing dulcimer. By that time, Amy had been playing dulcimer for a while. So that was kind of the entry level for each kid, is to start learning dulcimer and start singing a little bit. Nathaniel kind of took off with it. Amy started to teach him piano, and according to the standard lesson structure, about a month into it, he said he wanted nothing of it. He was more or less pushing him away from it. So we said, okay, you can just play the piano whenever you want to pass by, and he really flourished on that.
We came back to piano piano books several times, but it never lasted more than a week to a month.
It's awful hard to carry a piano around, isn't it?
Too. Yeah.
Well, I've seen a lot of instruments in your hands, Nathaniel. What all do you play?
The instruments I have picked up and been able to pick out a tune on go about 10, but the main ones I feel comfortable performing with are the mandolin, fiddle, banjo, dulcimer maybe, and guitar. Mm-hmm.
What's the maybe the most difficult one you've been trying?
Banjo.
Banjo?
Totally, because the fingerings aren't very intuitive. I think it goes D, D, G, B, D, plus the drone string, so that's a really weird fingering, so you have to get used to the new fingering, and then keeping the fingers on your right hand, plucking it constantly, in a pattern or changing up the rhythms. It's really, really complicated. Mm-hmm.
Mike, what all do you play?
I started playing guitar after my dad when I was five. Mm-hmm. I picked up the trumpet when I was in junior high. I think that's when I started learning to read music, and of course the bass guitar, the bass is a variant of the guitar, but that's pretty much it. It's trumpet and guitar.
There we go. Well, you were recently re-elected as the Central Indiana Folk Music and Mountain Dulcimer Society Music Director. What do you feel about the position? What are you trying to bring to it, and what are some of the enjoyable parts of that?
I feel honored to be, allowed to be the director. I think it requires somebody for the gigs, to lead the gigs, to be able to lead the practice. I hoped that while I was here, I could, at some level, help bring some a higher level of musicality to the big band group.
It's worked out well, hasn't it?
It has.
We got back to playing some of the older songs. Disillusioned with the styles because we've heard it over and over and over. But then when we find out older songs like the Moonlight Medley,
Maybe best kept back in the recesses of our songbook. So
that's why they're back there. And when you say new songs, of course you mean new old songs.
Right,
well, yeah,
right.
Ageless.
So with Father's Day coming up this month, Nathaniel, do you have
most of the big band gigs that are around the city? Mm-hmm. But just because I'm getting involved with more outside activities, I'm not able to make it to as many of those anymore. But as far as I can tell, we haven't. As far as I can remember, we haven't performed any.
We're looking into possibly other opportunities like farmers markets and other festivals, but that's as our family schedule allows.
Yeah, I hear that. Well, we've been talking with father and son team, Mike and Nathaniel Rabb, and since they were talking about playing, well, why don't we go ahead and listen to some tunes from Mike and Nathaniel. Say, do you know the definition of perfect pitch? It's when you throw the accordion into the dumpster and it lands directly on the banjo. Our next show is dedicated to musical jokes. They're supplied by our society members as well as people who we've come in contact with at various folk events. Listen and see if your favorite musical joke appears.
Professor Tim Hoke will weigh in on this philosophical issue, as well as more music and discussions. All this on Local Folk, brought to you by the good folks at the Central Indiana Folk Music and Mountain Dulcimer Society. Find us on the web at www.indianafolkmusic.org. Here come the credits and events.
Local Folk is brought to you by the Central Indiana Folk Music and Mountain Dulcimer Society. You can find us on the web at www.indianafolkmusic.org. Local Folk is also produced by the following bunch of fun-loving and hard-working people: Phil Slates, Tim Hoke, Gary Ryder, Carla Slates, Nathaniel Rabb, Gary Rogers, Susie Krasick, Dave Slates, Mike Rabb, and a special thanks to our engineer, John Adamson.